The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Last week, a whistleblower produced WhatsApp messages from Hunter Biden, proving that at the very least, his father knew about his influence peddling businesses abroad and probably participated in them. Quote, I'm sitting here with my father, Hunter Biden wrote to his Chinese partners demanding money. As much as anything reported about the Bidens over the last several years, this was the smoking gun. There it is, right there in the message. That would have been enough to cripple a normal president. It would have been more than enough to keep a normal president from running for office again. But it had virtually no effect on Joe Biden. Most media outlets ignored it completely or tried to spin Biden's relationship with his son as some kind of moral victory. Quote, the real meaning of the Hunter Biden saga, as I see it, wrote Nick Kristof of the New York Times, isn't about presidential corruption, but is about how widespread addiction is and about how a determined parent with unconditional love can sometimes reel a child back. He actually wrote that. And if you doubt it, you should know that view was common. Here's the take from ABC.
The Hunter Biden story, the scandal, the this, the that, it's also the story of a father's love. And Joe Biden has never and will never give up on his son, Hunter, and will never treat him lesser than. And so he is a father first. Take it or leave it.
So a whistleblower produces a text message showing that Joe Biden was in the room with his son when his son was selling influence to an enemy power, the Chinese government. And ABC's take on it, Joe Biden is a father first, take it or leave it. What accounts for a response like that? Well, that's the way you talk when you've got nothing to fear from an upcoming presidential election. You don't even bother to think of an excuse for your candidate because you don't need to. Your country has electronic voting machines. Joe Biden got 81,282,916 votes in 2020, and you're pretty sure he can do it again. In fact, you know he can. You're not worried.
The latest from Tucker Carlson, he actually went there. He brought up the machines. Now, I think maybe they do have a little bit to fear. That's why they're doing everything that they can. They're pulling out all the stops to try to take out Trump. But isn't it interesting now? The unshackled Tucker Carlson talking about the machines and the fact that Joe Biden somehow got 81 million votes in 2020. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's program. You can get to the live video stream of this show at trumpetdaily.com. You can also watch the programs that are posted after the fact on demand. And, of course, don't forget about our channel, our Rumble channel. That's at the Trumpet Daily. Just search for the Trumpet Daily at Rumble, and you can watch the live stream there. And you can also watch all of the old shows as well. You can also leave comments at Rumble, so that's a nice feature as well. So a lot to get to on today's show. Of course, all of the communists and the regime media, they're cheering the Supreme Court decision yesterday. I think it was 6-3. Basically, taking power away from state legislatures with respect to elections, national elections, and giving more power to state Supreme Courts. So that's as far as election integrity goes, that's another loss for honesty. That's another way. You can see why Donald Trump is talking more about how their side has to harvest ballots as well, just like the radical left does. That Tucker's right about the confidence that the radical left has because they control so much of the way everything operates in D.C. and beyond. That it makes me think of that quote from the 2018 article my father wrote about how we're getting a hard look at what the radical left, the communist left, what they're willing to do to maintain their hold on power. I mean, it all comes down to control. It's just like Barack Obama said at that campaign stop in Ohio in 2012, I think it was. It's important who controls the machines. Jesse Waters, he wasn't talking so much about elections, but he was talking about why the communist left, why they're so confident. Again, touching on the point that Tucker made right there. This is clip 11.
Now, how do I know Joe Biden's an intelligence op? Well, because he lets Hunter throw a wedding at the White House while under federal investigation and then brings him to a state dinner after he blocks felony charges. The only way you do that is because you know you can get away with doing that. And fresh off the state dinner, Joe takes Hunter to Camp David with him for the weekend. Now, it was at Camp David this weekend that Joe Biden held an important phone call with Zelensky of Ukraine. Was Hunter in the same room for the phone call?
They're confident, you see, because they know they can get away with it. Now, I think they're beginning to feel the heat because you see some, we'll get to this later, you see some in the regime media that are actually curious about the Biden crime family crimes. They're actually looking into it. There was a pretty lengthy report from CBS that came out yesterday with respect to Hunter and all that they're getting away with and all these whistleblowers that are coming forward. But just coming back to the machines, as Tucker mentioned in his latest episode yesterday, this is from my father's Ready for War article. This goes back to January of this year. He said here, but they must face the fact that until they get rid of the machines, they will never win any elections. They're so naive. As long as those machines are in place, the radical left will steal elections. Now you look at, this is a story I haven't had time to get to in the last couple of weeks. This report coming out of Georgia, just how vulnerable the machines are and have been in recent elections even. I mean, I thought after Fox paid off Dominion, what was it, $700 million? I thought that meant Dominion was perfect. That there's no problem with the machines or the software or the fact that they're hooked up to the internet in some cases. I mentioned, before I get to that, I mentioned this Michael Goodwin piece at the New York Post. And he says, yeah, the election was rigged in 2020. I mean, it was an inside job. And of course, he goes on to talk about the DOJ and the FBI and the cover up of Hunter's crimes and so on. But notice what he says in his introduction. It says, score half a point for Donald Trump. Half a point, not a full point, just a half. It turns out he was on to something with his claim the 2020 election was rigged, though not in the way he thinks. Here's where we disagree. He goes on and says, the dirty deed didn't happen in offices in Arizona or Georgia. Oh, it didn't? Well, how do you know this? They just covered up the evidence of all of the cheating that went on, moving ballots through the machines on more than once, the ballot stuffing, the drop boxes all around Atlanta. The mystery of election night when everything shut down because of a leaking urinal. Remember that one? The ballots that showed up in Michigan in the deep heart of the night. I think it was 3 a.m. And here come the trucks with more ballots for Biden. It says not in the offices of Arizona or Georgia where Republicans supposedly were banished. Supposedly? They were. Poll watchers were put out. In one case, they put up cardboard to cover up the windows so you couldn't see in as they were counting away. It says here, banished while Democrats counted duffel bags full of late arriving votes. Nor did Trump lose because computers were wired to rob him of victory. Instead, well, how do you explain the glitches then? The spike. The fact that Trump was winning, I forget the swing state, maybe it was Pennsylvania, and then through in again, in the dark of night, a spike that went straight up, moving Biden into the lead. None of this has ever been explained. None of it has been examined. It says here, in fact, it was, well, let me just back up. It says, instead, the cheating that likely denied Trump a second term was very close to home. In fact, it was an inside job. So then he goes on to expose the deep state, basically, as if the cheating was limited to the deep state in Washington, but no other states, certainly not, would dare cheat. They cheated in probably a half a dozen to a dozen ways to rig the election. And Tucker says that, hey, you got 81 million votes. They're sitting back thinking, well, if we can get 81 million votes, we'll win again. It doesn't matter if he's out there saying Russia's winning or losing the war in Iraq. It doesn't matter if he falls down on stage. It doesn't matter if he's at the advanced stages of senility. Just put him out there again. Now, there's some signs, I think, again, that Obama may be about to pull the plug. I think they are, in fact, concerned because I think they see the support for Trump increasing. And they know they exhausted all of their plans for cheating in 2020. If they come out and do the exact same thing, at the very least, there's going to be more people watching and observing. But my father's right, really. You need to get rid of the machines entirely. This is an unbelievable report coming out of Georgia. This is from CNN. Georgia election officials have been aware of existing vulnerabilities in the state's voting software for more than 2 years, but continue to insist the system is safe and won't be updated until after 2024. They're aware of vulnerabilities that have been there for 2 years. Well, that takes you back to the midterms. That takes you back to the presidential election almost. Were there vulnerabilities there in 2020? And why wouldn't you address it before 2024? It's insane. The Republicans are supposedly in charge in Georgia. And here comes the Supreme Court to handcuff the state legislature there. So no one, again, you talk about those that are confident on the radical left. I mean, Brad Raffensperger, he's practically right there alongside them. And he's confident too. We're aware of the vulnerabilities, but look, this was a perfect election in 2022 and 2020. Why wouldn't they set the minds of Georgian voters at ease by just saying, yeah, we're aware of it and we're going to address it. We don't want you to question the validity of any Georgia election. It says here the report's findings focus on weaknesses in software for certain Dominion voting machines. Dominion! This is not me. This is CNN. This is not the pillow guy saying this. This is CNN. It says here those weaknesses were previously verified by federal cybersecurity officials who urged election officials across the country to update their system. Oh, you mean Chris Krebs' group, the cybersecurity expert that really knows nothing about cybersecurity? But we'll leave that aside. He came out after 2020 and said, hey, this was perfect. This was a perfect election. Here's the cybersecurity people telling states. I mean, it's so vulnerable. There are states like Texas that won't even use it. They won't even use Dominion or the software. It says here, a lawyer for Georgia's top election official, Republican Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger, recently told a federal court that officials would forego installing Dominion security patches until after the 2024 election. Forget about the security patches. We'll just wait. We'll wait another couple years. No problem. How foolish are these leaders? Republicans in name only. I mean, you got that right. Georgia election officials insist it is highly unlikely that the vulnerabilities will be exploited in real attacks. Of course not. No one would ever exploit vulnerabilities. No one would try to cheat. Well, I guess the DOJ would try to cheat and cover up Hunter, even going back to Bill Barr's time at the DOJ. I suppose the FBI, it was an inside job, says the New York Post columnist, but certainly no one would exploit these vulnerabilities down at the local level. How idiotic the reasoning is. This is from the National Pulse. The 2021 Halderman Report, released this past week, and again, this goes back a couple weeks ago, lays bare a litany of critical vulnerabilities. That's a quote from the Halderman Report. Critical vulnerabilities in Dominion voting systems machines currently being used in a number of states and in all voting locations in the U.S. state of Georgia. Compiled by Professor Alex Halderman and Professor Drew Springall, as part of the lawsuit, Curling versus Raffensperger. The newly released, though still partly redacted, report explains how ballot scanners add ballot marking devices can be, quote, can be exploited to subvert all of its security mechanisms, and that ICX could be used to change the votes of individual Georgia voters. That sounds like a pretty big deal. Here comes this report. It springs from this case against Raffensperger. And Georgia officials say, you know what, we're not going to address it until after 2024. Let's try to get Biden in there one more time. And then we'll finally fix everything. Hopefully by then, Trump will be in prison and we'll at least be rid of the bad orange man. It says here, an attacker with brief access to a single ICX or a single poll worker card and PIN can obtain the countywide keys, writes Halderman, warning that a dishonest election worker with just brief access to the scanner's memory card could violate ballot secrecy and determine how individual voters voted. Surely there wouldn't be someone on the inside, like someone counting ballots that would cheat or would reveal the trends across the county or what voters are doing here or there. Could that happen? It says here the security issues are so bad, the report says, that merely patching these specific problems is unlikely to make the ICX substantially more secure. It is very likely that there are other equally critical flaws yet to be discovered. This is a 96-page report from two distinguished professors. They looked into it. They examined it. They looked at the machines. They looked at the software. Raffensperger, he came out with a statement in response to this report, saying it's more likely that I could win the lottery without buying a ticket than someone being able to tamper with his Dominion machines undetected. See, he just cannot admit that he could do anything wrong. He has done everything perfectly. The machines he bought, the software they run on them, I mean, this is his responsibility. His spokesperson, a guy named Mike Hassinger, he said, if the PhDs don't like being put in the same category as the pillow salesman, tough noogies, that's his response to the report? You're going to go with the tough noogies response? Seriously? This is the spokesperson for Raffensperger. These people, there's clowns everywhere running elections. And then you've got commentators pretending that, well, there was this problem of covering up Hunter, but as far as everything else goes, the counting of ballots, the machines, and so on, everything was just fine. Nothing to worry about here. I mean, the level of deception here, and even just ignorance and blindness. This is from CNN as well. Several U.S. federal government agencies have been hit in a global cyber attack that exploits a vulnerability in widely used software. What? You mean the government has been exposed for its vulnerabilities? Says the U.S. Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency is providing support to several federal agencies that have experienced intrusions affecting their MOVEit applications. I mean, hacking is going on all over the world. And Georgia's response to the Halderman report is that, okay, if there are vulnerabilities, we'll address them after 2024. So Tucker finally released from the constraints that the Fox women put upon him. He's out there talking about the machines and the fact that Joseph Robinette Biden somehow, some way, got 81 million votes in 2020. When we come back, we'll shift gears a little bit and look into some other news items that caught our attention over the past 24 hours. You're listening to Stephen Flurry, and this is The Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email the show, you can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. What has happened to the United States of America? The wealthiest, most powerful nation in human history is suddenly divided, weakened, radical. The evil in America has grown powerful. The good has grown weak. The honorable parts of American history are succumbing to a direct, targeted, sustained assault. Someone, something is dismantling America's history, purpose, and character.
Fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
Political dysfunction, social strife, economic peril, catastrophic moral failure, fires, attacks, riots, lies. The nation is being attacked from within by its own leaders. Powerful elites in government, journalism, academia, and beyond are intentionally, rapidly destroying what America is in order to make it into something else. There is a reason why your nation is crumbling before your eyes. There is a spirit and a specific perpetrator that is attempting to blot out America. Only America Under Attack reveals that perpetrator and the motive and spirit behind him. This newly expanded book shows you the reason why America has changed so dramatically, so suddenly. If you're confused and concerned about what is happening to America, request your free copy of America Under Attack by Gerald Fleury at thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
If this was any other person, they likely would have already served their sentence.
Gary Shapley was a lead IRS supervisory agent in Operation Sportsman, the investigation into Hunter Biden. Shapley said he uncovered conduct that warranted more serious charges.
There were personal expenses that were taken as business expenses. Prostitutes, sex club memberships, hotel rooms for purported drug dealers.
How much did Hunter Biden owe in taxes?
So from 2014 to 2019, it was $2.2 million.
And Shapley told lawmakers that U.S. Attorney Weiss was blocked from bringing stronger charges. But U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland said last week that Weiss was not.
I documented exactly what happened, and it doesn't seem to match what the Attorney General or the U.S. Attorney are saying today.
Shapley, who is still working for the IRS, told us that even before President Biden took office, he was directed to avoid leads involving Hunter's father.
There were certain investigative steps that we weren't allowed to take that could have led us to President Biden.
And you wanted to take them?
We needed to take them.
And you weren't allowed to take them?
That's correct.
That report there is from CBS. That's pretty. Why are they looking into this now? I mean, not just the crimes, but the cover-up. The cover-up's worse than the crime. Well, maybe that's debatable. When you think about what this administration, a fake one at that, what they've gotten away with for years and years and years. Joe Biden, I think this is from earlier today, here again. Finally, a reporter that's asking a decent question. Listen to this exchange, number 14.
President Biden, how involved were you in your son's Chinese shakedown text message? Were you sitting there?
Whoa. No! I wasn't involved in the shakedown. He didn't even deny the shakedown, did he? That's pretty amazing. That's revealing in and of itself. I'm told, by the way, that our stream on our website, trumpetdaily.com or thetrumpet.com, we're having some technical difficulties at the moment, so they're redirecting the audience, those that typically watch the show live, over to our Rumble channel. So this will be a day that we get more live viewers at Rumble than ever before. So we'll set a record over there, and hopefully if you missed any part or all of this show, don't forget that you can come back and watch our programs on demand after they're posted a few hours after the live presentation. So that's Joe Biden getting a little hot under the collar when someone asked him, were you there in the room? Did you participate in this shakedown when Hunter was texting the Chinese businessman who has links to someone who works for the CCP? Unbelievable. Listen to Fox News from yesterday, clip 13.
Pretty amazing how this story is gaining steam.
Yeah, I think Biden family is finally being exposed for what they are. Thanks for having me, Brian. The Bidens are the most corrupt president and family to ever be in the White House in any of our lives. And I think these revelations are going to keep Joe Biden from being the nominee in 2024.
That's Clay Travis. And it is interesting. I'll get to some of the Obama material here in just a second. But he had lunch at the White House yesterday. The dear leader did. There was the political story last week that talked about how that Obama's getting more involved and working with young Democrats. So on the one hand, like Tucker says, they're confident because they control so many of the levers of power at the federal level and even at the state level, if not with Democrats, with rhinos like Raffensperger. But at the same time, I mean, for CBS to have an in-depth study or an in-depth segment on the Biden crime family, there is a change that's taking place before our eyes. This is from the Wall Street Journal. It says, remember, the whistleblowers are all testifying under pain of perjury, perjury charge if they lie, and their allegations are relatively easy to prove or disprove. So they're testifying. Shapley's testifying under the pain of perjury. If they catch him lying, well, you know what they do with people that lie, with people that are opponents of theirs. If they catch him in a little white lie, they're going off to jail. That's why Shapley kept the trail of evidence. That's why he emailed the six guys that were at the meeting with Weiss when Weiss said, yeah, I don't have final authority here. This is from the higher-ups at DOJ. We can't take this indictment into D.C. or California. This is very limited. There's a limited scope to this investigation, and there's certain things, there's certain steps that we simply cannot take. Shapley just said as much. It says other allegations who also deserve answers under oath. Did Assistant U.S. Attorney Leslie Wolf really call Hunter Biden's defense counsel about a Northern Virginia storage unit, ruining investigators' plans for a search? You want to flip a lawyer or at least expose the communications. How about going after this woman who evidently tipped off Hunter's attorneys and said, hey, you might want to clear out that storage facility. They're going after Donald Trump for moving boxes of documents when he came out of it having presidential authority to declassify anything. And then you got this going on. It says when Hunter Biden agreed to his plea deal last week, his lawyer said he did so with the understanding the investigation was resolved. Perhaps that part is, but for Joe Biden, Merrick Garland, and FBI Director Chris Wray, it's only just begun. It seems like the plea deal might have backfired. I mean, we're just a week out from that. And look at all the revelations we've seen just in the past 7-8 days. I think the plea deal together with Hunter strutting through the White House state dinner, I think it finally did tip the scales for at least some semblance of sanity in the reporting, in the coverage. Again, they're only going to go so far. I mean, even the op-ed at the New York Post, it stops short of the machines and the ballot stuffing and all that. But some truth is getting out there. Think about what would be completely buried to this day if Trump would have gotten in there, if he would have endured through that stolen election. And if he was in power today, of course, it would be a completely different country in many respects. But the fact that he just left even after the steal. Look at what's been exposed these past 2 years. I mean, they're actually talking about the Hunter laptop. There's whistleblowers finally coming forward exposing the two-tiered system standard of justice at the Department of Injustice. It says here, well, listen to Shapley, his attorney. This is from last week. I played a couple of clips from him the other day, but clip 10.
Throughout the investigation, there was a reluctance to engage any investigative steps that involved President Biden. And this includes in the testimony, the efforts where they had probable cause to do a search warrant at President Biden's guest house where Hunter Biden had stayed. They had information that there was information that was relevant to the investigation located there. When the agents proposed it, the AUSA, Leslie Wolf, said, we're not doing that. There's no way we'd get that approved. Yet another sign that is contrary to the allegations that Weiss had all the authority to do whatever he wanted to do in the case.
That's from the attorney. The attorney who was on with Martha McCallum just last week. Just today, I think it was, we get this report. Maybe it was from yesterday, but we get this report from, I believe, Fox News, clip 7.
Another whistleblower is sounding the alarm in the Hunter Biden tax probe, claiming U.S. Attorney David Weiss was not making decisions and was not really in charge. That validates what we have already heard from Gary Shapley, the whistleblower who has gone public. What do we know about this second whistleblower?
But he wants to be anonymous. He told congressional staff last month he became emotional after seeing the way that this probe was handled from the beginning. Mr. X worked under the more publicized whistleblower, Gary Shapley, and a letter released last week, Mr. X says it was clear to him that Trump-appointed U.S. Attorney David Weiss was not running the probe. Quote, he had to follow the normal process. He had to go to Washington, D.C., the U.S. Attorney's office, them saying no. So he really wasn't in charge. He had to follow the process, end quote.
Merrick Garland is such a liar. He's been exposed. How come they haven't started I think I read this morning that he's going to come and testify in September. September! You think the Democrats would wait around for 3-4 months and wheel in the attorney general if he was caught covering up an investigation and lying? The Republicans are so weak. There's just lies all over the place now. And it's all they can do to just maybe censure Adam Schiff, but that's about it. We certainly can't punish him in any way. No wonder they laugh. No wonder the communists just laugh at your face or angrily shout back, no! I mean, that's not only someone a little hot under the collar, that's someone who's lying. He was right there. He was right there. I mean, I don't have all the evidence. But we know, if you look at the bigger picture, he's the big guy. So if he wasn't in the room, he was giving Hunter the authority to carry out these shakedowns, for sure. The Biden crime family. This is a pretty amazing. You heard the CBS report. Listen to this. It's from Fox, but it's about how the New York Times coverage is even changing. It says here, the Times confirmed one of the bombshell claims made about the Department of Justice's mishandling of its probe into Hunter Biden, but buried it deep in its Tuesday report. So it's down at the 21st paragraph, but it's still there, which is at least a baby step in the right direction. It says here, after Biden pleaded guilty to 2 misdemeanor tax violations and entered a pretrial diversion agreement regarding the felony gun registration charge, the House committee released testimony from 2 IRS whistleblowers who alleged that President Biden's son received preferential treatment by the DOJ. Says IRS whistleblower Gary Shapley claimed that U.S. Attorney David Weiss alleged to multiple witnesses that he was told by the DOJ that he could not bring charges against Hunter Biden in California and D.C. Attorney General Merrick Garland denied there being any interference in the probe. However, the Times, listen to this, the Times is now confirming that Weiss did in fact make such claims about the DOJ. It quotes the Times here. It says, but in mid-2022, Mr. Weiss reached out to the top federal prosecutor in Washington, Matthew Graves, to ask his office to pursue charges and was rebuffed, according to Mr. Shapley's testimony. That's what the Times wrote yesterday. It quotes the Times again. A similar request to prosecutors in the Central District of California, which includes Los Angeles, was also rejected. It says, Mr. Shapley, or according to Shapley's testimony, a second, this is again quoting from the New York Times, it says, a second former IRS official who has not been identified told House Republicans the same story. That episode was confirmed independently to the New York Times by a person with knowledge of the situation. This is the New York Times now saying, yeah, it actually did happen. Weiss didn't have final authority, as Merrick Garland claimed last Friday. He lied. He got up in the press conference and he lied to the American people. Why do they do that? How do they get away with it? Well, because they get away with it. Just like Jesse said, just like Tucker pointed out. It's because they've been getting away with these crimes for so long that they lie to your face. They lie to your face. They feel pretty confident, Tucker says, about their chances in 2024 because they control so many of the mechanisms with respect to elections. It says here, notably, this is the Fox response to that Times quote, notably, the confirmation wasn't mentioned until the 21st paragraph of the Times' lengthy report titled Competing Accounts of Justice Department's Handling of Hunter Biden Case. As I say, where are the impeachment proceedings? At the very least, for Merrick Garland. Anybody following CBS and the New York Times there in the Republican House? Here's another one from CBS. It says the IRS supervisory agent who helped oversee the investigation of Hunter Biden continues to raise questions about what he alleged was special treatment in the probe of the president's son, telling CBS News that dating back to the Trump administration, he was repeatedly prevented from taking steps he would have considered routine in other cases. Dating back to the Trump administration. Well, that takes us to Bill Benedict Barr. That's right. Bill Barr prevented them from just taking normal investigative steps. In any other investigation, it would have just been a matter of routine. But no, no. Bill Barr, you see, he sat on Hunter's laptop. He squashed it. He would not let it get out there. He handcuffed the investigators. Listen to this from the Wall Street Journal. It says, by June 2021, Mr. Weiss's prosecution team had gathered enough evidence to understand that Delaware wasn't the proper venue in which to prosecute Hunter Biden's tax crimes. Crimes allegedly committed in 2014 and 15 would have to be charged in the District of Columbia, and those allegedly committed in 2016 to 19 would have to be charged in the District of California. But the DOJ wouldn't let him do it. Took them 5 years, and they reached the plea deal last week. Now, in the case of Trump, took them 7 months, right? 7 months to tell you that he's going behind bars for 400 years if he's convicted in all 37 of those counts. That's what awaits Donald Trump. Listen to Larry Kudlow from his show yesterday, number 12.
I mean, think of this. Hunter Biden was investigated for 5 years, covering two administrations, came out with a sweetheart deal, which was punitive-wise a nothing burger. But during the Biden administration, Donald Trump was investigated for 7 months by the Garland Justice Department, and they came up with 400 years in jail for Joe Biden's principal presidential opponent. The Biden-Garland strategy, of course, to fear Trump the most, and therefore put him in jail as quick as possible to avoid running against him. So that's bad. That is very bad. That is awfully bad. But in effect, legally, Garland's lying under oath, although punishable, just doesn't seem near as bad as Joe Biden taking a bribe from a foreign national, nor Joe Biden heading up a RICO-type racketeering effort by his entire family. Pay-for-play bribery is high treason and misdemeanor. I know it's an allegation at present, and I also know the evidentiary proof is not yet 100% complete. But investigations by House committees on oversight and judiciary and ways and means are moving at warp speed toward a Biden pay-for-play scandal proof.
Again, the truth is coming out, and it's not just Fox News, whose ratings, I know that's Fox Business, but Fox News' ratings, by the way, they're plummeting because they fired Tucker. They wanted to silence Tucker. So they're shifting things around. They're going to move Laura Ingraham up and put Jesse, I think, in Tucker's slot. But it's not working. What is working is telling the truth. This is why Tucker's getting millions of views in just a matter of hours. Millions upon millions of views. The truth is coming out. That's Kudlow from yesterday. Listen to another bit from Tucker. You'll recall the first clip we played at the top where he said this is why they're so confident, because they control the machines. But he also said further on that they do have a few reasons to worry, just because Biden, an 80-year-old man, is being exposed as part senile, part incompetent, and of course evil and corrupt through and through. Here's clip two, I think.
But actually, they should be a little worried. The people who control Joe Biden, Susan Rice, and the rest, know they can continue to run our government, writing the press releases, formulating the policies, and they can do it effectively forever, as long as Joe Biden gets dressed in the morning. And of course, that's their strong preference. These are fervent opponents of change. But the one thing these people cannot control is aging. Joe Biden is old. He's 80 now. He will be 85 at the end of the next term. People imagine that old age is a long, predictable progression from acuity to permanent unconsciousness. But often that's not at all how it actually works. When old people start to slide, they tend to slide fast. Joe Biden has begun that descent. Here he was yesterday.
And here's what she wrote to me, and I quote, "You can imagine my joy." She called them right away, and the next day they sent someone out to survey her yard. As Beth wrote, "This is the best thing that's happened to rural America since the Rural Electrification Act brought electricity to farms in the 30s and 40s. End of quote.
End of quote. You aren't supposed to hear that. Joe Biden read the stage directions out loud. That's like eating the garnish that comes with your entree. You're supposed to know not to do that. Joe Biden no longer does. In a year or two, he will be gone completely, and there will be no hiding it.
No hiding it. It's difficult to hide it now. The only thing he got wrong there, again, is he just didn't go far enough. Susan Rice controlling Biden. It's Obama. All roads lead to Obama. That's obviously a point that runs right through this book. More than 200 pages, now in hardcover, America Under Attack, the 800 number you see on your screen there, 1-866-930-3024. You can use that number if you live in the United States, Canada, or the Caribbean. Or you can go to our website, thetrumpet.com. We're having a few technical difficulties with the stream right now, but the rest of the site is working if you want to download any of the literature and read it today. And there's no cost, no obligation. Everything that we offer on this program is offered without cost. We just need your mailing information. Speaking of the stream, the Rumble stream is playing the show without interruption. And as long as maybe you're there at Rumble for the first time, so as long as you're there, go ahead and give our program a thumbs up. Let's see, I think they call them Rumbles. I could be wrong. But give the program a rumble and leave a great comment as well. You can email the show, obviously, td@thetrumpet.com. But you can also leave some comments there at the live chat or underneath the program. All roads lead to Obama. This is from The Hill. Biden hosts Obama for lunch at the White House. It says here, there's no specific agenda to this meeting, Principal Deputy Secretary Olivia Dalton told reporters. She noted that the two presidents stay in touch regularly. We know all about that. It says the lunch comes as Biden has stepped up his fundraising efforts ahead of his first 2024 campaign finance report in July. He's set to fundraise in Maryland, a suburb of D.C., later on Tuesday. On Wednesday, Biden will travel to Chicago, so that's today. Obama's hometown, for a speech on the economy and for fundraisers. So why was Obama there for lunch yesterday? Pretty interesting, particularly when you put it together with this story. This was from last Thursday. And again, last week, if you just kind of step back and look at all of these events, they're not just happening randomly. You've got the plea deal on Tuesday, and then you've got more revelations, the whistleblower in particular, on Thursday. And then, I mean, so the Hunter people and the cover-up at the DOJ level, all of that's being exposed by Shapley and others. And then right in the midst, the same timing, you've got Politico coming out with this headline, "Is Barack Obama ready to reassert himself?" So they know. They know who's they know all roads lead to Obama. It says here, former President Barack Obama has hosted a handful of informal but lengthy private meetings with groups of next-generation House Democrats. It says the gatherings were Obama's idea, I'm told, and were designed for the now 61-year-old former president to keep current with his party's rising stars. More than 6 years after he left office, he's running the Democrat Party. He's running the country. It says here, the times Obama has appeared with Biden since the former vice president became president have been marked by Obama overshadowing Biden. Now, you know all about this if you've been, not even just America Under Attack, if you've been reading the Trumpet magazine. Tomorrow's news today is perhaps the plug is about to be pulled. If not, you can be sure Obama's there at lunch yesterday giving marching orders. Susan Rice is right there in the mix. He's got control. It says here, but looking back, it may have been easier for Obama to momentarily play the role of supplicant. After all, he had beaten, talking about when he campaigned for Democrats in 2022. It says, after all, he had beaten Clinton's wife in the 2008 primary and then revived her career by bringing her into his administration, much the same as he did for his vice president. I mean, his vice president, Biden was losing campaign after campaign, except for Senate, coming from a radical leftist state. But besides that, every time he ran for president, he was exposed as a liar, a fraud. And here comes Obama resurrecting his career or giving a promotion into the vice presidency. And then, of course, the presidency, the fake presidency. This is from America Under Attack. My father writes in this book, he says, where do all the roads lead? Only one person had the all-consuming motive and malice. Only one person had the forceful, dominating will. Only one person had the necessary ring of powerful accomplices in the government and in the media. Only one person had and has the unassailable pride and power to accomplish this ongoing treason against the United States of America. He must be named. That man is Barack Obama. He must be named. Don't just get caught up in Hunter's crimes or even the big guy's crimes. You mean tens of millions of dollars are going into the Biden crime family while Biden, in many cases, while Biden is vice president and Obama and the DOJ he weaponized was unaware of it? Obama knew it all. He knew it all. Would have been interesting to be a fly on the wall yesterday in the White House lunch. Welcoming back the dear leader who's running the country. It says the evidence shows a tremendous amount of lawbreaking by bureaucrats and intelligence and law enforcement. It shows that President Obama filled America's law enforcement agencies with treasonous agents. Treasonous agents like Merrick Garland and company. I mean, Trump was the one who appointed Chris Wray. That was a mistake. But he's part of the swamp. He's rhino through and through. My father says, finally, these events give us a hard look at what radical leftists are willing to do to seize power and to stay in power. They have no respect for the rule of law. This is how they can get up there and speak so confidently or answer, in some cases, angrily at the very question because they're in control, because they have the power. But there's signs that that's beginning to shift. That's beginning to change. And, of course, we know about the prophecy regarding Donald Trump coming back to power. This is what they fear, the radical left fears the most. Quite a lot of response to yesterday's show on celebrating sin, our Sodom and Gomorrah society. This one here says, here in Australia, I did hear of this case in Boston. As is usual with our media here, not a lot of information was given out and certainly no condemnation. Our churches here are as woke as anywhere else to varying degrees. And as you say, sin is no longer a word used. The churches instead are fully on board with pride and illegal migrants to varying degrees and supply no hope I've been following you for a great many years and saw what happened to the WCG. I only recall the plain truth watering down their articles at the time, and much later found out the truth of what occurred. I later read Raising the Ruins, which set out in full the story of the WCG. It says, God bless you for your work. That's a response from a viewer down in Australia. You can see the email address there at the bottom of the screen if you'd like to submit some feedback to the show. This one comes from the UK. It says here, what a powerful and necessary program presented yesterday on celebrating sin. As the Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians 5:11, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. Don't participate in it. Don't approve of it, as Romans 1:32 says. Expose it. Bring it under the furious light of day so that everyone can see. Just like God told Ezekiel, go back, look at that hole in the wall, and you're going to see even greater abominations. I mean, we're just seeing the very tip of the iceberg here with respect to the Biden crime family, with respect to the Jobama crimes. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. And this viewer says, that's exactly what you're doing, as in your program yesterday. Distasteful as it is at times, it is needful viewing, as God required Ezekiel to see the abominations of Israel at his time. Now we are required to see and show Israel's today, America, Britain, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. Another email here comes in. It says, great show as usual, if you have the stomach for it. We are still regular viewers of the TD at dinner time. Our nations really are in serious trouble. It's hard to even comprehend that it has come to the point that you have to talk about the things that you do. It really is disturbing, and we can see that your emotions come out at times. It would be next to impossible to keep that from happening. It says, please keep speaking the truth as you do. You spoke about the rainbow flag and pride. I sometimes wonder if the rainbow flag is a direct attack from the devil. The real rainbow belongs to the great God, and it's beautiful. In answer to your question, we had not heard anything about the Boston story before your show. What disgusting filth. Most people that wrote in said they had heard nothing about that story. Another one here says, writing to you from Northeast Ohio, this is the first time I heard about this sick Sodom and Gomorrah story. No news coverage here. Thanks for sharing it so at least your viewers hear about it. As a PCG member in Ohio, I'm sickened by this, but very thankful for you bringing it to light. We need to know the truth about what's going on. Watching and praying always. Another viewer says, I always wondered why people go to those queer parades and watch them. They must be curious about what they do and laugh at them. The people don't realize when you keep coming out and are watching them at every parade, they have you, every parade, they have you are encouraging them to make them even bolder. Got a little of the wording messed up there. But it says, thank you so much to your staff for such a wonderful show. I never miss any of your programs. One last one here. It says, the best part of the show is always the Bible study. When Mr. Palmer compared God's rainbow to his mercy on the people and how Satan's pride rainbow destroys God's goodness and truth with its godless wickedness in that flag, it says, only your church knows the truth. Still miss you, Mr. Fleury, when you can't be there, but you have excellent staff to take over and speak the truth of God. We certainly do. We've got some wonderful subs, and we have a conference coming up for the ministry in God's church. So we've got some more subs lined up for next week and the week thereafter. Send us an email, td@thetrumpet.com. Don't forget about our Rumble channel, which set a new record on today's show. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Appreciate you joining us today, and we'll see you tomorrow.